Suzanne Toro, and today I have joining me Autumn Sky Morrison. She is from Powell River, which is located on the Sunshine Coast in British Columbia, Canada. She is an amazing artist and is filled with wisdom in which she expresses visually and in her writings and in this conversation we had today. Without further ado, let's dive in with our conversation with Autumn.
Thank you for taking the time.
You bet.
How are you feeling? You've been traveling around?
Yeah, I've been definitely on the go for the last, year or two or three, but particularly the last few months I've been on a big journey into the mountains and down into California and Arizona and Oregon. I'm looking forward to being home for a little while and diving back in my studio.
Nice. And were you painting or on a vision quest or?
Painting and visiting friends and just sharing my work and gaining lots of inspiration in return.
Well, your work is amazing.
Thank you. Definitely been an amazing journey so far. So I've been really blessed and able to do what I love and share it. And the more I share it, the more I'm able to keep sharing it.
Good. And what medium are you doing? Acrylic or?
Yeah, it's mostly acrylic. Lots of mixed media as well. So a lot of my pieces I incorporate organic materials or found objects, shells and buttons and antique keys and clock parts and just sort of whatever speaks to me. And I find the acrylic is really compatible with a lot of glues and organic materials, and I'm able to travel with it really easily. So it just seems to serve my purposes much better than any other mediums I've tried.
Nice. Yeah, I like acrylic myself. Your work just definitely jumped out and spoke to me on many levels when I saw it at Rochelle's shop down in Gibson's. And then when I saw the one piece you call Timeless Keepers, maybe we could start there. What inspired you to create this masterpiece? And I guess we could start there, and then I'd love to know what all the symbolism means for you in that painting.
Well, that piece, funnily enough, it started as a performance painting, which I do quite often. I'll start with a blank canvas at an event or a concert or a festival, and I just let the piece sort of develop, so it plays off of the people around me and the music and just the general vibe and people's suggestions. And that piece, it started as probably the youngest person I've ever painted, which was really interesting. She was almost a child, and right away it seemed that there was going to be this owl sitting on her head. And as I worked on it, she started to age. And when I came home with the piece, I brought it back into my studio and continued working on it. And she just got older and older and more timeless. And I was visiting with my grandma a lot at the time, so I was really reflecting on seeing her in me and me in her and everyone that came before and after. And when I got back into my studio, I started looking in the mirror and imagining other lifetimes or other ancestors that came before, and just really exploring who's back there. And it was really fascinating and deepening, and it was amazing. And then the other animals that came in just seemed to speak to me at their perfect opportunity. And as I look at the piece now, now that it's finished, I'm able to step back and get some perspective. I really feel that the owl represents wisdom, and the peacock represents beauty. The raven or crow represents playfulness, and the scarab is magic. And so it's sort of all the embodiments of the crone. And it was an amazing journey. I actually finished that piece for a show in L.A., and the theme of the show was ancient civilizations and alien technology.
Hmm.
So with that theme, it left a lot open, and I just let that theme and just let spirit guide me, and it really evolved. So that was at the Temple of Visions Gallery in LA.
Of course. You know Amanda then?
I do, yeah.
That's so interesting because I was pulled to go there. Was it the opening that you did this at?
That was for the second show, yeah. I think it was in March or April.
I have to say, if someone were to paint a painting for me, that's what it would look like. So that's what really spoke to me. So it's beautiful.
Wonderful, thank you.
Another one in Rochelle's shop, which I really love, is Work in Progress.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a little bit about that, the woman walking away with the paintbrushes, just kind of sauntering?
Yeah, that piece is actually quite old now. It's probably painted that 4 years ago. So my work is really developed sort of in a different direction from that, but I really, that painting definitely still speaks to me a lot and holds a place in my heart, because it really just, I just wanted to speak to the fact that our future is a blank canvas, and that we are all artists of our lives, and we can paint whatever landscape we want in front of us, and you know, it may be more concrete right around us and even in our past. So that's why it shows the lilies very, very vividly around her. But then it just sort of peters off into soft nothingness. And I wanted to really speak to that sort of contemplative state that you can be in when you realize that, you know, I can create whatever I want in my reality. So that's why it's called Work in Progress too. Is that we're all works in progress, and our lives are, and yeah.
Beautiful, and I think that's a real important message right now, as we're all shifting and changing very rapidly, it appears,
mm-hmm.
with time and space. So the other painting that I want to dive into is Beloved,
mm-hmm.
and if you could share the mirror of the masculine and the feminine, that's what I see in it, and then again the different imagery of the bees and the flower essence and the dragonflies and kind of that unity. Could you share what inspired you and about this and what the message is from it?
Beloved was created actually mostly at a festival in Oregon called Beloved. So that's it was aptly named. And it's a beautiful gathering that's just really soft and heart-centered. And it seems like a lot of the theme of this time that we're in is about balancing the masculine and feminine and making peace with that polarity inside of us as well, which then manifests in our relationships and our families and our communities and our just global community as a whole. So I really wanted to give people something to reflect on that was that's honoring our individuality and our uniqueness, and that when we really celebrate where we all come from in a personal, on our personal path, we can come together and create so much more by not trying to change each other, but by just reflecting back light, no matter what the circumstances in the past and the other may be different from us, but just celebrating what we can reflect back to each other. And so I just really wanted to play with that mirror between them and just make it really shine, that they can just completely be sovereign and be strong in who they are, but still offer each other a beautiful reflection. And so, yeah, I think it's an important piece for what we're all experiencing right now, and as far as specific symbolism, as I was painting it, people were sort of coming up and watching, and I painted it when the trees came into her side, into the feminine side, and the cityscape came into the masculine side. People were coming up and they were sort of wondering. They were saying, "Oh, what are you trying to say here? Are you saying that women are soft and naturey, and men are hard and mechanical, and like what are you trying to tell us?" And I said, "No, I want to absolutely celebrate civilization as well. It's not about letting go and shunning the city or at all. It's about coming into balance with nature again." Mm. And so I really wanted to make that city just sparkle and celebrate it. It's there's so much that can be offered from metropolis and from civilization. So it was fun to play with that. And the bees really represent that for me. They're such a community species, and they're just so structured in their hive making, and it's like they have a city, and they just work so seamlessly, and they're so in balance with nature, and it's just a really symbiotic civilization, I feel. And then with the lilies and the fireweed, it just seemed like those were sort of, the lilies are sort of like a chalice. It's a feminine flower, whereas the fireweed on the masculine side is more like a phallus, and it's strong. It comes through and heals the ground after a fire. So it's very proactive and but still nurturing. But it's just a different energy, and so I'm just playing with that and playing with colors and just letting it glow. Fun journey.
It's really beautiful. And how much performance art do you do, would you say, in your creation versus just your time in the studio?
Well, definitely it seems to be more and more. I still usually complete the pieces in my studio, so I'll spend way more time working on it after the event is over. However, during the event, it's the piece really develops in it, the energy of it and sort of the overall composition and concepts, they're all in place. And so I just do the fine-tuning in my studio. And as far as other pieces that I start and finish in my studio, I'd say that that's probably still the majority. But definitely, especially in the last couple of years, a lot of my most exciting pieces have been birthed at an event. So it's it seems like something that's maybe still more in the studio and less at events, but maybe that balance is shifting a little bit, and as that becomes more of a commonplace theme at events, it seems like performance painting is sort of a new thing, but as people realize that it's an option at the event that they're throwing, or they're having a festival or a concert, it really is so symbiotic with the music and with mm-hmm. the dancing. It's just one more way for people to integrate the experience they're having, and they also get to see a painting come to life and get created in front of them. And the majority of the people that are there probably have never witnessed that. They see a painting in its finished form, and they say, "Oh, that's so pretty," and they don't have any idea how it got to that place. So I really love being able to offer that intimate look at a painting being born. And people express to me all the time how much that influences their own art or encourages them to pick up art for the first time. It doesn't necessarily take the mystery out of it, but it just brings it to earth for them to a certain extent. They can see that.
I would agree. I think the transformation that occurs when people can see it happening live is something very miraculous, and I think people are astounded, especially if it's not a super long period of time in their mm-hmm. mind's eye, and even if you still continue to work on it, it's pretty amazing. Great memory for everyone. Now, I want to talk to you about, I just opened up Larger Remembering Eternity. And it's funny because I noticed on your webpage the picture that you have on the homepage of the woman curled up almost in like a nest or a womb, mm-hmm. And the keys that were around and the buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday I found a key very similar to the keys that you have on that picture, and then I noticed in this you have one key hanging from her neck. You can share the inspiration of this painting and the symbolism or the meaning.
Well, to speak on the keys, I find keys are really just they're a great symbol to include in my work because they're not they don't have a specific meaning. They can mean any number of things. They can mean the unlocking of something or the locking. They can mean possessions. They can be unlocking spirit or it just can go in so many different directions that it just seems like they come into play in specific pieces and contribute a lot without nailing it down to a certain message, because I really like my pieces to be able to be interpreted however the viewer needs or feels. It's not about what I feel necessarily. I painted in an intuitive way, so these components come in without too much deliberation. They mm-hmm. just flow through. And so, yeah, in A Shelter for Opening, that piece, they definitely can mean any number of those things. It's she's safe in the center of that mandala. She's sheltered. But through that sheltering, she can actually open farther than before, and that's why in the very center there's stars and sort of the cosmos have started to appear at her center, because she can, through going in, we can realize the infinite out, so to speak. And as far as the Remembering Eternity, that's one of my newer pieces. I just finished it this fall. I started that piece at Shambhala, actually, in the music festival in Salmo, in the Kootenays. And that piece, the key sort of came in with a lot of the other items that are in that piece. It just keep as I was working, it just more and more kept coming in, and I was at times I would sort of question and think, oh man, is this like, am I going overboard here with more beads and more shell, like just more and more and more? But it really seemed necessary that all of those things be included, and again, it's just about unlocking, I think, and it's actually sort of a similar theme to like her eyes are closed and she's gone in and found her center, and from there she can flow outwards. And that piece is about birth and life and death and rebirth, and so everything from the hermit crab making a home of another being's demise, and then also with the baby in the center of the cosmos, it seems like these cycles in that painting, the bone structure coming into the side of her face that you can see to realize our mortality, but the little cosmic atomic beads flowing off of her necklaces just remind us that we are eternal. It just seems to flow back and forth, and that was an amazing, amazing journey to create that painting, and I'm still getting to know it myself.
Yeah, I feel also her Victorian essence for some reason mm-hmm. as I connect with her, even though there's the sense of so much more, but something about the way you've taken her hair and the nest and how the scarf comes around her neck where the the beads are. I don't know.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing with that Victorian theme. It's been echoing. It even came into my Halloween costume this year, and
it
really seems like it's a fun style to play with, and it also is really, it was such an interesting time for where we are now to have come through that, and it just offered so much to the world, but then it also was so limiting in so many ways, but stylistically it just has such a interesting and strange feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come into like my painting Queen Bee with she has sort of a red cherry tree afro and bees flowing up around her, and her Victorian type collar is made up of honeycomb curling over, and as well with the Grace of Myrrh, which has the seahorses making up her collar. The both of them are very fun. I'm working on sort of an ice queen right now who is going to be very, very regal and Victorian, queenly type woman. Very mythical, very fun.
I think because there are so many layers, you know, just like in, the different periods, even like Baroque or Rococo or different aspects of the Renaissance in the Victorian era, that just all the different layers and what's hidden under those layers is so interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Me, when I saw your work and I read the card you sent me, but then it appeared, as soon as you emailed it to me, it appeared.
Funny.
So
now you have a digital
one. all you have to do is ask and then you receive twice. You say, I paint in celebration of this fantastic adventure. I paint to inspire and to be inspired. Each canvas takes me on a journey, and as my paintbrush follows, each time I lead back to my center. My paintings are a mirror, a reflection of our light and shadow, our feminine essence, and our ancient divinity. With that, can you share your feminine essence and how you connect with the feminine essence and how you feel she is to be celebrated, honored, and respected?
That's a big question. Well, people often ask me why I paint women so much. And though I do feel that shifting, as there has been a few more masculine pieces coming in, my reply to that is that I paint what comes through and what sort of I'm guided to paint. And right now it really feels like the feminine is what needs to come through, as that has been stifled for so many millennia, and it's really a lot of the theme right now is coming back to the earth, coming back to our feminine divinity, whether it's a man or a woman, just to really make peace with our creative essence and our feminine essence. Through reconnecting with nature and our families. I think that's really a common theme right now, and it's so vital. And so for me, also being a woman and painting mainly women and mainly nude women, it's really it's been a great opportunity for me to learn about myself and about what it is to be woman, to learn about the women in my life, and to offer a healing opportunity through my paintings. People have so much pent-up emotion and taboos and fears around nudity, and when they are able to come to a painting and drop their barriers and their walls and really connect with a piece on an intimate level that's not necessarily sexual. It might be sensual. But I think that there's a great opportunity there for reprogramming, and I really value that. And I My own feminine essence, I think was part of your question.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just just more and more learning of that, and through dance and meditation and painting, and just connecting with other women in my community on a really deep heart level, without the competition that's been so ingrained in our society. I think it's really, there's so much shifting going on right now. We've been really divided for so long. It's absolute high time that we that we reunite with our sisters. I think it's vital.
If you can speak a little bit more in depth about that heart connection with the feminine and how we can embrace each other, because I myself, you know, a lot of what you speak is what has been coming through to me, and I know many others. If you can just share a little bit how you've been able to embrace the feminine, the sister, and how we can actually come together in community and really support each other versus having to go to that competition or that fear that has been ingrained or programmed into us that, you know, we have to protect ourselves and not let anyone else in.
I think it is definitely based on fear and fear of lack and fear that we're not enough somehow. And that's been, you know, that's been really consistently conditioned in us for thousands of years to just forget all of the wonders and mysteries of being woman and to be afraid of other women because they might, you know, offer competition for the men or hurt us in some way emotionally, or it just I think it stems from a lot of just really tragic circumstances through the last few hundred years or few thousand years, and relationships in general have not been healthy in that time, with, you know, between a man and a woman in a marriage or between parents and children. We've just, as a whole, forgotten how to connect on a heart level, and it's all just been about fear, I think. So now that we realize that that's not the way it has to be, and that there are other options, and we're given the amazing luxury of even being able to take the time to imagine another way. As we're not so much, well, I speak for myself, I'm so blessed to live in Canada, and specifically BC, specifically on the Sunshine Coast, and to be a woman, and to be able to be doing what I love and to not be working a 9-to-5 job in order to make ends meet. But I feel that I'm so blessed I'm able to actually have the time to imagine a different perspective and to contemplate these things. I'm not just struggling day to day, where people just don't even have time to ponder. You wanted me to speak more on not having the competition it's been a strong theme for all of those reasons, I think, and I see it in my art a lot in when I'm able to share with people, and sometimes people will come up and say, oh, I'm so jealous because you're able to paint these images, and I really try to only reflect light back to that, because I just encourage them that no, you should be inspired, and you know, I've dedicated my life to this ever since I can remember, ever since I was a toddler. This has been my focus. So it's not like I just woke up last year or last week and said, I want to start painting. I've dedicated thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of hours to this over my life. And so I have some practice. You know, I have a bit of a head start, but if you want to start painting, I absolutely encourage that, and I'm definitely very open to giving people suggestions about the kinds of paints I use or the techniques I use, and encouraging lots of exploration and release of judgment as you're working, so that you're able to really tap into something broader and to channel that through. Because I don't think that art should be about competition, and I don't think that it is. It's just sort of, it's another sort of falsely imposed circumstance on us, and because art is so personal, and you know, I see it within my own art that people are drawn more to one piece than to other pieces, and that's the piece that really speaks to them. And even more so with art, with the artists, people are drawn to one style or one artists more than others, and you know, it has nothing to do with their marketing necessarily. Given the option with a whole array of artists in front of you, you're gonna know what speaks to you, and that's not gonna be the same thing that speaks to the person standing next to you that's also looking. And thank goodness for that. You know, we all have different taste in music and food and style and men, and you know, thank goodness.
Right.
We don't need to make each other like we are, and the more that we can just be at peace with our individuality and our sisters and brothers' individuality, then the more we can just celebrate life and trust that you know, we're not at risk of losing anything if we open up to our friends and family. We'll gain, because we gain perspective and our taste changes, and yeah, I think it's just being at peace with ourselves, and you know, many people have been taught for so long that what they think or believe or want is wrong. You know, if they wanted to be an artist or a musician growing up, and they were taught that those were just hobbies, and you know, starving artists, or you know, that's a common theme. It's a self-perpetuating myth.
Right.
But it's, yeah, if you believe that artists starve, but you're going to be an artist anyways, then you're going to probably starve. But I believe that it's a great career choice, and you know, it's getting easier and easier to make it as an artist with the internet and just with the global community joining together more and more. You know, it's so doable. So
I agree, and I think just looking at your work as a whole, seeing the evolution and your comment, you know, to people maybe being jealous or envious of your gifts, but really, you know, all of us have the opportunity to jump in and embrace any of those gifts that we thought we weren't allowed to have as a career or as a point of expression because someone told us it didn't make much sense to explore that. And so I honor you for making those comments, and I hope those that are listening can really connect with that, to not stuff those talents that you might have but have not yet birthed or dedicated the time to explore. The last painting I want to just go into that you sent me was The Seer. And if you can just share what this beautiful owl is sharing with all of us and with you.
Well, the owls have definitely been a theme and an animal that has spoken to me a lot throughout my life, and more and more as I paint the owls, they seem to speak to me and visit me, and they love to swoop over my car while I'm driving. That seems to happen to me quite regularly. It's really wonderful, and they they hang out around my yard. I can hear them calling sometimes, or they fly over my yard. And they are just such an interesting creature. They are so present, and so they just have this sense of knowing, and knowing of a reality so much broader than we can imagine. It feels their eyes are just so open and piercing, yet there's, I don't know, there's a softness and a sternness and a mystery there. It just is so enchanting to me. And as I usually paint figures, and the animals and creatures and other elements come in as I'm painting, and it's all sort of based around the figure. With the owl, I just really wanted to focus on the owl and just really honor that creature and speak to her divinity or his divinity, without being in context of a human. So that's what that was about, and just really paying tribute. And I named it the Seer just because, for obvious reasons, that owls just seem to see. They're not just looking, they're seeing, and they're taking it in, and they're seeing beyond and through, and such incredible teachers, I think, for us to take the time to just be still and watch and see. It's a great teaching.
Yes, sometimes it's a blessing when you can be the observer. So,
and the silent observer, they're really celebrated for their silent flight, and they're so quiet, and you often don't even know you're being watched. So I think that's a really nice quality that we could all learn from. Just a little less talky and a little bit more see.
Yes, exactly. Well, he or she kind of reminds me of the little owl that we helped as a child, but my friend and I put in a baby carriage, and I still, to this day, it makes me chuckle that little owl allowed us, I wanted to swaddle it and put it in a carriage and keep it there until we could get someone to help it. But it did. It just sat there and stared and was so peaceful and just so content, not agitated at all. So... had a great sense of humor for a little girl that wanted to make it a baby doll.
Yeah. Well, that owl knew what was going on.
Yeah.
The bigger picture, right?
Exactly. So, well, how can people connect with you? I know on your website we have it, autumnskywithanemorrison.com. Where else? Is that the best way for them to connect with your work? And
yeah, that's a great way. Spell SKYE. On there, my email address is there, so feel free to write me with any questions or comments, or if you're interested in prints or whatnot, I'm more than happy to touch base and connect with people. I'm on the road a little bit over the next little while, so please be patient in my response. But otherwise, I'm also on Facebook. I have an art page on there. You can find me. Come out and find me at festivals or concerts, or if you want to have me paint at something that you're organizing, please be in touch as well. I love to share that process and to create in public and just to really, you know, be surrounded by my community and do what I love. It's a win-win situation.
Definitely. What's the next festival that you'll be at?
I'll be at Beloved, or the same people that are putting on Beloved are putting on a New Year's event down in Portland, and that's called Inspire Truth. That's on this Friday. But other than that, I will. I don't have anything too major coming up in the next little while. I do the Filberg Festival over in Comox every summer, so that's the first weekend of August, which is a great event full of lots of incredible art and craft. Yeah, just at this point, I'm actually just really looking forward to being home for a little bit and diving into my studio and finishing some of these performance pieces that I started last year. I made a trip to Europe and I painted at the Boom Festival there, so I have two new pieces from there and many other unfinished paintings that have been very patiently waiting and watching me as I come in and dump stuff and pick up more stuff and pack up again.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that and just diving back in.
Well, I'll be heading up to the coast, I think, when you're returning. It would be fun to come and see your studio.
Oh, it would be great.
Well, I appreciate you sharing your gifts and your wisdom with all of us.
Uh-huh.
And I look forward to connecting with your future creations. So thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I should mention, too, that when you are in Powell River, and if anybody else is passing through Powell River or in there, there's an artist co-op on Marine called Artique, and there's 25 artists, and I'm one of them. So that's just a storefront on Marine. It's a lime green building, and it's full of art, and I have a display in there. So as far as, like, a gallery, that's the closest thing you'll find locally. So that's pretty great.
Beautiful.
But, yeah, I really look forward to connecting with you. Thank you so much for sharing and for giving me the opportunity to share.
Well, thank you.
Thank you again, Autumn, for joining us today. And if you would like to connect with her, welcome one of her pieces of art into your life, or welcome her to one of your upcoming events, please connect with Autumn at autumnskymorrison.com. Thank you again for joining us today. And remember, express yourself, express your beauty and your infinite ability to inspire others. This is Suzanne signing out. Until next time, namaste.
You speak of unicorns and pirate ships and leprechauns and islands where statues touch the sky. I'm stuck upon your words, so picturesque, it almost hurts to think that I will ever pass us by. Cause it's your face like a light, your face shining bright. You look at me, suddenly I'm blinded. I hope you'll always find your way, but if you ever stray, the treasure that you shining bright, you look at me and suddenly